The Bob Siegel Show on AM 1170. The Answer is sponsored by Bob Siegel.
The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Primetime Media Group and the law offices of Matthew Simone.
Recurring themes on The Bob Siegel Show can also be found on his online column, Forbidden Table Talk.
It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but you keep hearing Christians claim that America was founded upon Christian principles, and yet America has a history of slavery. Well, my friend, America's founding document, the Constitution, had ideas about freedom that contradicted slavery, but human beings, being what they are, often have difficulty living up to their ideals. Prior to the Civil War, abolitionists called upon Americans to be more consistent with their Constitution. More importantly, abolitionists called upon professing Christians to be more consistent with the Bible, which condemns slavery, contrary to the popular opinion that it condones slavery. But while all Americans should confess that slavery is certainly a sad, tragic part of our heritage, slavery does not go on today anymore in America, at least not in any obvious way. Now, actually, one could argue that abortion is a form of slavery, and that we are permitting one human being to do what they want with another human being inside their womb on the basis that it is part of their own body and therefore their own property. Ever think about that? But even here, so many women have publicly turned from abortion and participate in ministries of healing and forgiveness. On the other hand, we live in a culture that has become so spoiled and so stupid that people will find slavery even where it does not exist. Even where nothing even close to it exists. Black Lives Matter is now comparing the NFL to slave owners for having rules about either standing for the national anthem or staying in the locker room. So let me see if I get this. Being paid millions of dollars to play a game in front of a bunch of people in exchange for honoring the rules that you agreed to of your employer is now slavery? In any event, let me introduce a man who owns no slaves. Instead, he owns a lot of character. And if I had character as good as his, I doubt that I would ever have buyer's remorse. Say hello to Jim Barrier.
You give the greatest introductions. I have been accused of being a character from time to time.
You heard the one about the guy that prayed to the Lord for a little character and then his wife became pregnant?
Yeah,
they got
exactly.
A little character.
You have to be careful how you pray. You know, I want to jump all over your introduction. There were so many great things there that we could talk about all night. But before we do, I want to say congratulations, Will Power. Now, you might not know what I mean by that. What do you think of when I say Will Power?
I don't know what you mean by that, actually.
Today was the 102nd running of the Indianapolis 500, and the driver's name who won the race is Will
Power. Oh, is he the guy that's just like a 14-year-old kid? Is that who that
no,
is?
No. He's actually 37. He's one of the older
okay, because I saw some 14-year-old kid interviewed on the news the other day who was going to be racing. I don't know if you'd been following him.
No, Will Power's had a long, great career, but has never won the 500, and he finally won it today, and I've never seen a driver more elated. I watched that race since I was a teenager, and it's one of the few sporting events that I still am loyal to. But congratulations, Will Power. You finally won the greatest spectacle in racing. And so, talking about sports, I'm glad you brought up that thing about the NFL. I'm perplexed by that whole notion, Bob. Now, I realize that people spin things and they say stuff and there's rhetoric that's totally illogical, but come on now. If millionaire athletes who are getting paid to play a game.
Isn't that amazing when you think of it? All they're doing is playing a game.
A game.
And they're being paid millions of dollars, and that's not enough. Some idiot has to call that racism.
And slavery.
And that's not even talking about the fact that the white people on the team have the same rules, too. Of course, we never hear about that.
Well, by the way, when it was announced that the NFL was bringing this rule in, and they have a choice. If they don't want to stand for the national anthem, they can wait in the locker room until afterwards it come out. So their freedoms aren't being,
Oh, sure, Jim. Wait in the locker room the way the plantation owners used to make them wait in the barn. Yeah. I see the analogy here.
Okay. Now, let me just ask this to our audience and of course, to you. I understand that just very recently, a professor at Washington State was fired because they had a day where they were going to have the day without white people.
Oh, and I heard about that, and then he spoke out against it, right?
Yeah, and he refused to stay home, and he got fired. Now, how is that any different than a football player being told that he's going to be fined if he doesn't stand in the national anthem? This guy is protesting, saying this is reverse racism. By the way, this professor is known for being very liberal, but at this point it just was too much for him. That because of the color of his skin, he was asked to not come to the campus.
Well, and then they keep making up the rules as they go. They say, oh, there's no such thing as reverse racism because white people have all the power. I keep hearing that. Okay, I'm white. I don't get paid millions of dollars for playing a game. White people have all the power?
Well, but do you see my comparison here? If a football player gets in trouble because he doesn't keep the rules, and they're saying that's not fair, that's slavery. Here's a professor, a liberal white professor, who says, I shouldn't be judged by the color of my skin and told I can't come to campus. And he's fired.
He's fired.
I'm trying to see, how do you reconcile those two things? How do you justify one and condemn the other? Can you help me with this?
There's no consistency whatsoever. And one could argue that, well, they're both disobeying the rules of their employers. But in one case, the rules of the employers actually are racist. There's nothing racist about asking people to stand up for the national anthem. Neither is it a First Amendment right. The First Amendment means that the government cannot come in and silence our speech. It does not mean that an employer can't have the kinds of rules that he wants, except that at a university where they're claiming to be so liberal and egalitarian, that was certainly a racist rule that they came up with.
Well, all rules for society or whatever have some conditions. And I remember way back, the argument, freedom of speech does not mean you could stand up in a crowded theater and yell fire.
Yeah, exactly. And of course, people overly use that one too, because if there actually is a fire, you should be able to yell it.
Yes, but if there, but the point being, you have to have some common sense, some boundaries for any of our freedoms and rights and all of those things. And so that should apply to anything. And then, of course, they're pulling stuff out, talking about the Constitution. And some of the things they talk about aren't even in the Constitution. The, separation of church and state, those words, as you know, are not to be found in the Constitution anywhere.
No, they're not. We're just living in, I know Dennis Prager calls this the age of stupidity. He says we had the age of enlightenment, the age of reason. He said, if Western civilization survives, we'll be known as the age of stupidity.
Well, and our friend Winky Prattney, he's a good friend of mine, and I know you're familiar with him.
Yeah, I've met Winky.
Yeah, he says the two most common things in the universe are hydrogen and stupidity. So.
Well, speaking of stupidity, have you been following this stuff at Starbucks? Now, I practically live at Starbucks. My office is Starbucks. So now, because of one incident, instead of dealing with the one incident, anybody can come into Starbucks, hang around, lounge around, use the bathroom. They don't have to buy anything. So what that means is that those that are actual patrons who would want to buy something, who would want to stay like me and work, they're not going to have any place to sit down. They're not going to be able to use the bathroom, or at least not easily. And so they're going to lose their business. They could go out of business, but it won't matter. As long as they can pat themselves on the shoulder and be politically correct, that's what it's all about.
It's nuts.
And, it is the dumbest thing I've ever heard of in my life.
Well, and frankly, I used to go to Starbucks on a routine basis, and I rarely go anymore. Some of it is that you go and you can't find a seat because people are camped out with their laptops and stuff. And,
well, that's me. I'd be in there with my laptop, but I would always buy something.
Yeah. Well, I always do, but the other thing is I was a little put off a year or so ago when they, you know, they're protesting and stuff, and they decided they were going to start hiring, immigrants and people that, you know, in their show of support for that anybody, you know, has a ride. And they're a very, 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 very liberal company at their, you know, top level. And everyone has the right to choose. I can choose to go to Starbucks or not. Just like people who don't like Hobby Lobby can choose not to shop there because of their perception of the CEO and how that company's run. So that's just part of the American thing. But I haven't spent as much time at Starbucks in the last couple of years anyway. But that, yeah, I heard that leading into the show. That's just such a goofy thing. There's so many knee-jerk decisions going on at high levels.
Well, I just don't see how they could really stay in business unless by chance there's just not that many people that want to hang around and loiter around without bothering anything. But
you underestimate the stupidity of the American people.
I mean, yeah, and the fact that they're such a liberal company, isn't it pretty obvious that they're not a racist company? And we don't even have any evidence that one manager that threw the person out did it because he was African-American. It may have been because he was loitering. I was told one time at Starbucks, this was one of those days where I had not yet bought anything, and one of the new managers came up and said, we only allow people to sit here for a half hour until they buy something. I'm white. So it's not true that they were being discriminatory. Or let me put it this way. We can't get into that person's head. Nobody can prove it. But that's what's just assumed now.
Yeah, and it's just goofy. And on the other side of the coin, if a restaurant or someone at a particular chain refuses to serve a police officer, you don't see the corporation shutting down all of the stores for a day and having sensitivity training seminars, you know. So it seems to be so lopsided right now.
Yeah, and the difference is they go out of their way to say and admit, I'm not serving you because you're a police officer. We never heard this Starbucks person say, you can't use the bathroom because you're black. It's just automatically assumed.
I think there's a reaction formation. I think there's an oversensitivity right now in our culture. And frankly, I think people are afraid of being punished one way or another if they don't do the politically correct line.
It's the thought police. We're living in the new McCarthyism. If anything, it's probably going to be worse than the original McCarthyism was.
And I love that term because I have a friend there in San Diego, David Randall, who's a guitar player, teacher, wonderful musician. And in the 60s, he had a band called the Brain Police. Great band.
Well, our wit and our wisdom blew through the first segment pretty quickly, Jim. We'll be right back.
Believe it or not, Bob Siegel is aware that there may be one or two people who disagree with his opinions. To offer your own comments on the topic at hand or to challenge Bob with a thought-provoking question, feel free to contact Bob on Facebook, Twitter, or questions@bobsiegel.net.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-aged child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool and a nonprofit 501c3 organization. Contact us now at wisdomworkschristianpreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. wisdomworkschristianpreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. Say hello again to Jim Barrier.
Okay. Hi, folks. I want to clear something up. I was talking about the Starbucks thing, and I want to be very clear. I have no problem with anybody hiring people who have come into this country legally, whatever their origin or nationality or any of that, whatever. That is not my issue, but I do have an issue with a Starbucks kind of version of affirmative action. That because of what they see as injustice, they were going to tilt the scale the other way.
And, exactly. They were probably hiring everybody based on their merit anyway.
And yeah,
the affirmative action is where it starts becoming a reverse discrimination. What if somebody else is more qualified?
Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of what I was referring to. So don't go off and say that I'm a racist. I've mentioned this before. Anytime someone in any way hints that I'm a racist, I pull my pictures out of my three grandchildren who are all of minority descent. Their fathers are Afro-Americans. I'm trying to think of the right word. I don't want to, you know, say anything wrong because of the brain police, but I am anything but a racist, and anybody that knows me and anyone that knows what I do in my work here in San Antonio would clearly understand that I have no trace of racism in me, and I can line up people from all kinds of backgrounds that would be glad to help you understand that. So,
well, Jim,
I wanted to clear that up.
Well, and then, of course, amongst those of us who do know you, you don't need to clear it up. But for everybody else, you are going to get accused of racism, my friend, no matter what you do. You could go to Haight-Ashbury, San Francisco, with a harp, sit on the grass with a psychedelic shirt, and strum some anti-war tune, and you'll be called a racist because A, you're white, B, you're a male, and should you mention that you're a Christian, well, then it's just over the top. Should you mention you voted for Donald Trump, they'll call the police.
And by the way, I have done that with a guitar.
We're actually talking to a real child of the 60s here.
Absolutely. I am the 60s. Yeah, I'm a white male, and so I am guilty of all the things that all white males have done that were wrong. It just astounds me of that type of mentality. But, let me ask you, this is another story leading in to the show where the president has labeled the Democrats as being out of touch with America. Now, I don't know across the board if every single Democrat is out of touch with America, but I think some of the leaders that they've kept hanging on are absolutely dinosaurs, you know.
And I hope they just go right on talking through the midterm election. Our best weapon is Nancy Pelosi. I hope they bring her to every rally and let her give speeches every time.
Oh, yeah, and Hillary's doing the Why I Lost tour still. I mean, I've never heard anybody.
Gosh.
She's taken whining to a whole new level. But,
And when she talks about criminality and respect for the law, I don't know how she does it with a straight face.
I know. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
I know. James Comey, the same thing. He says, well, I think Hillary, probably Hillary wouldn't have fired me because being a lawyer, she has more respect for the law than Donald Trump. I'm going, this is really? The Hillary that used bleach bit on her hard drive. This is the Hillary that lied really? About Bingo. Really? And she hasn't been accused of lies and criminal activity. It has been absolutely proven. But it yeah. doesn't matter to anybody, but it's been absolutely proven.
Yeah, and of course, she and her husband have been champions for women victims of abuse and, wait a minute, I'm sorry, I got off.
Yeah, wasn't Harvey Weinstein one of the greatest contributors to her campaign?
Unbelievable. Okay, so maybe there is a few people that are out of touch. I'm not, you know, Donald, we've talked about it a lot. I'm sorry, Mr. President. You know, he is abrasive. He's hard to take sometimes. And so I get that people don't like him. But you don't like him. That's fine. Every president that has occupied the Oval Office has had people who don't like him. But it doesn't make him a lawbreaker. It doesn't mean he should be impeached. It doesn't mean, you know, that we should... I get that they don't like him. I didn't like his predecessor, you know.
Yeah, and his predecessor was really smooth-talking. I look at the actions, and we talked about this before. If people could separate his personality from his actual actions,
yeah,
it's quite an astounding difference.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And we've talked about that. You know, there's stuff happening. He's getting stuff done. And I think he's probably fine with everybody throwing out the name-calling and doing all this stuff because he's just going about his business, you know, getting the attention of some of our adversaries or people that are really a threat to freedom. And
His bull in the China cabinet personality, that may just be what the doctor ordered to rid us of this idiotic political correctness. I know a lot of people don't like his personality. Personally, I like a guy that's not mealy-mouthed and doesn't have 11 handlers, so you can't say this or you'll offend him, you can't say that or you'll offend her. He just says what he thinks, and some of the things he thinks and some of the things he says I don't like, but that's what happens when a person just talks honestly. The guy's not a politician, and he is an antidote to political correctness. He may just be what we need in our time.
Many of us welcome that. Now, your thoughts on... the new director of the CIA.
Well, from what I've heard about her, and I don't know a lot about her, I know that she was around during the time of the waterboarding. And I suppose we could have a debate in our country about whether waterboarding is something that we want to do. I don't feel strongly committed one way or the other. What I do emphatically stand by is that we should not be comparing waterboarding to the kind of torture that groups like Al-Qaeda do. Because they cut people's heads off. And sometimes that's the most merciful thing they do. So it's not the same thing. It shouldn't be talked about as if it's the same thing. And John Brennan was involved in some of that kind of stuff, too, before Obama finally put a stop to it. And a lot of the people that confirmed Brennan were having a problem with this woman. So, again, the inconsistency that we always see in Washington.
Let's come back and talk about it.
All right. More inconsistency when we return to the Bob Siegel Show. Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhoffer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for W&S Electric, Incorporated, license number 480539, W&S Electric.
Bob Siegel not only writes fiction, but nonfiction as well. Over the years, Bob has received wonderful comments about his book on Christian apologetics entitled, I'd Like to Believe in Jesus, But... Many have put this book in the hands of their seeking, unbelieving friends, and the book takes it from there. This is because the book has a rhetorical skeptic that argues with Bob about the harder, less frequently discussed questions. As a result, the reader is immediately aware that they are reading from an author who relates to them. The moment they find themselves questioning something they see, their very question appears in the text. Every question in this book was one that was personally put to Bob during his many years of speaking on college campuses. I'd Like to Believe in Jesus, But... Available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
So much fun to do a show with my good friend and co-host, Jim Barrier.
Here we are. And folks, I have read I'd Like to Believe in Jesus, But I use material from that book when I teach apologetics classes, which I don't do as often because I'm a pastor and they would get worn out hearing that week in and week out. But terrific book, highly recommend it. And another thing that you are kind of known for, one of your taglines, one of your pastimes is making the obvious obvious. And you used to do a segment on that pretty regularly.
Yeah, we had a whole series of like little one-minute radio spots called Bob Siegel Making the Obvious Obvious.
So back to the newly installed director of the CIA, the obvious thing that everybody is ignoring is this is the first time that post has ever been given to a woman. And who... under whose administration did this take place? Obama? Clinton? Carter? No.
Yeah, Gina Haspel is her name. And if she had been nominated by a Democratic president, and if the Republicans had objected to her for any reason, waterboarding, don't like the kind of Slurpee she once ordered at 7-Eleven, no matter what they said, they would have been called racist. They would have been called... women haters, misogynists, you name it.
Yeah. I think had it been a Democrat of any name, then they'd call it a national holiday. They'd have parades and they'd say, what a champion for women's rights and what a champion for change in our culture. But, it just kind of slips through and they talk about the waterboarding.
Yep, exactly.
The obvious elephant something. In the room is you just made a huge change in how things are being done in our government for the positive, for the good. I think she's qualified, and I think it's a great thing.
And frankly, if somebody is a terrorist and he has information and the only way they get it is to waterboard him, I'm not sure I'm going to lose a whole lot of sleep over that.
I have friends that are more conservative than you and I think, and they would say waterboarding isn't strong enough, but that's not my opinion. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying there are people who feel that way.
You talk about the big elephant in the room. A bigger elephant in the room was the guy that was the mastermind of 9/11 who personally cut off the head of one of those journalists, one of the first ones. This guy was also going on record saying that he doesn't like her and he wanted permission to come and testify. Gee, he didn't like Gina Haspel, you think?
Yeah. Well, now there's somebody whose opinion ought to matter a lot.
Yeah. Who says Democrats aren't in touch with the real world? They're really in touch with the feelings of that guy.
I just, it's just crazy what's going on, but here we are and we're still moving on And I said this recently. I'm going to segue really nicely right now. We had a family event that I'd like to talk about in a minute, and was with a lot of family members. And I have one particular sister and her husband who are extremely liberal. So we kind of avoid talking politics, especially when you're in a wake from a funeral, and it's not the time to argue stuff. But I have a hard time with a lot of the emotional rhetoric where logic just flies out the window, and I see that a lot on both sides, frankly. People extreme right and extreme left, you can flip a switch and there's no longer a rational discussion going on. It's so deeply rooted in people's emotions. And I said to them, you know, I've watched a lot of presidents. When I was born, Harry Truman was the president. In my lifetime, we've gone through a lot of presidents, some not so good and some even worse. And no one man or woman is going to save this country or take it down. We still do have checks and balances, and there may be some really bad presidents, but I don't think that the American people are going to allow one person to destroy the country. And we've had maybe some pretty good ones, and they're not going to fix all the problems and save our country. I just don't think that. I think there's too much emphasis put on just one person, and that's just my opinion. I still think we have a legislative branch that can try to pass laws. We have a judicial branch that can interpret those laws, and those things kind of swing on the pendulum back and forth. But and we have the American people who, if necessary, will march in the street or will stand in the square and speak out. So sometimes I think we think one person has too much power. I don't think they really have that kind of power to take down the nation. And I used to say this to my Republican friends when Obama was, you know, doing his thing. And I said, you know, we'll survive. Goodness, we survived LBJ and Jimmy Carter, you know.
we'll survive, but I must say, I think we're just barely surviving Obama. Because bee will leave its stinger and then go fly away, Obama left a stinger behind him called the deep state. And America is rising to the occasion, and it seems like we are going to get to the bottom of it. But wow, what a mess. Yeah. Trump talked about draining the swamp. He had no idea. None of us had any idea how bad it was.
Well, and I'm just going to throw this in because, as you know, I am a man of the cloth. There is something about the element of sovereign providence of the King of Kings and the one who is the ultimate authority. And as America's people of faith seek their Creator and pray, I think things happen. I think this whole thing in North Korea, I think Pastor Cho's church has had a lot to do with what's going on over there. And I think that the spiritual influence that people who name the name of God, don't care what your denomination is, but if you believe in the God of the Bible, then you believe in a God who listens when people pray and he acts when people pray. I love Francis Schaeffer. He is there and he is not silent. I just believe that there is that dimension that, frankly, most of the media isn't going to touch.
I do think that that is where our really hope is, prayer. We'll be right back. Looking for a church that will not only challenge you, but help you to feel like a part of a family? Why not try Skyline Church, located in Rancho San Diego near 94 in Hamishaw? I can testify firsthand to Skyline because I myself am a member. When you visit, Tell them Bob Siegel sent you and ask about that free week-long trip to Bermuda for first-time visitors. They'll look at you like they don't know what you're talking about, and you will not, in fact, get any free trip to Bermuda, but you'll still be glad for a chance to experience Skyline Church. You don't want to go to Bermuda anyway. Too hot. And people who approach that area have been known to disappear, but they don't disappear at Skyline. Those who visit usually can't wait to come back. Skyline Church, Sunday morning services at 8:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. We were talking about prayer before we went to the break, and I know people that pray probably a lot more and a lot harder than I do, but as we all do our part, I do pray every single morning. I actually go for what I call a prayer walk, and one of the things I make sure I pray about every day is our country. When Obama got reelected, despite Benghazi and some of the scandals, I know he's gone on record bragging that there were no scandals under his presidency. There were a ton. But you wouldn't have known about it by listening to the mainstream media. And nevertheless, I started praying that it would all start to implode. And I have seen that happen. The reason what was going on, for want of a better term, this deep state, as we've been calling it, the reason they did such a blatant disregard for the law, and we're talking about the CIA, we're talking about the FBI, the national agencies, they just assumed Hillary was going to win. And that they were going to get away with it. And when Trump won, they had to circle the wagon. And the same people that had exonerated her needed to frame him. It's just that simple. And I know they keep talking about wanting more information released. And I know the FBI keeps, and the Justice Department keeps stonewalling. But what has already come out has already made the case. It's already settled. It is already a fact what they did.
Yeah, language like we want all the truth to come out. I don't know any politician that wants all the truth to come out. But
well, there's some personal details and truth in their life that I don't care about. I care about their policies. I care about the things they do that is going to affect me, mostly my freedom of speech, more than anything.
Yeah, and I'm with you on that. Let's, for example, when Mr. Carter ran for the presidency, I had friends say, oh, he's a born-again Christian. Don't you want to vote for him? I said, no, I'm glad he's a born-again Christian. If I need a Sunday school teacher, I'll give him a call. But I don't agree with him, and I don't think I would like the way he would run the country. And so that issue was not prominent for me any more than Bill Clinton or Donald Trump's escapades with women, you know.
Trump has denied the Stormy Daniel thing. If I had to be forced to commit myself, I'm inclined to think that there probably is some truth to it. I care about the man's policies, though. As a Christian, I may have problems with that. But as somebody who's voting for a president of the United States, who I want to just keep our Constitution the Constitution, it's a non-issue with me.
Yeah, and so, and as it was with Bill Clinton, I thought it was, you know, scandalous. I didn't think much of his character. I didn't like him looking in the eye, looking at the camera and pounding his fist on the podium, saying I did not have sex with that woman, and all of that. I thought the guy's, you know, he's a liar. But I was more concerned about the decisions he was making politically, the things he was doing as he was running the country, and it's so to me those things and. I have friends that would not be happy with me talking like this, but those are not the issues I'm concerned about when you're talking about the guy who's running the country, who's got his finger on the button, the guy who, you know, ultimately the buck stops here. And so I'm more concerned with what their policies, their views, and how they're going to handle the economy, how they're going to handle national security, those kind of things. And so,
and of course, Juanita Broderick actually accused Clinton of rape, which would be much worse. But the affairs themselves, I don't like the fact that we had Secret Servicemen guarding the doors while it was going on, or I heard he was conducting business on the phone. Well, things were
being done.
That part I have more of a problem with, but
my guess, he's not the only president that that's happened with.
Probably not.
And so there's too many stories.
He should have just come out and admitted it and said, yes, I've had affairs in the fine Democratic tradition of John Kennedy and Franklin Roosevelt.
I heard. I have a friend who was closely related to someone who worked on LBJ's detail. Boy, does he have stories of stuff that went on. So anyway, there hasn't been a clean one in there. I loved Uncle Ron, but you know, he had his issues.
And like you said, Jimmy Carter may have been clean, but what an abysmal president.
Exactly. So, you know, what is it that you want in that office? So, well, we pretty well covered that. I have so much fun on this show because we never stick to the script.
It's like we're at Starbucks or Denny's having a cup of coffee.
Except we have to be careful now at Starbucks. I don't know.
Except they're not kicking us out for loitering without paying for anything.
Yeah, or we might say something that offends somebody who's eavesdropping. So
yeah, exactly.
Now I do think we need to do this because we're closing in here. Tomorrow is Memorial Day. And for me, for years, it's always, part of the weekend was celebrated by a great race in Indianapolis. And I love that event. But that's they really do make the thing about Memorial Day. They still do at that event if you go in person. And it's not about the barbecue and the hot dogs and the pool. All of that's fun. Do that stuff, everybody. But I told my congregation this morning, when you do those things, whatever you're doing tomorrow, make sure that you take some time and stop and thank God for people who made the ultimate sacrifice, because Memorial Day is not the same as Veterans Day. Memorial Day is about those who gave their lives.
Yeah, my respect for the military has just gone up every year. And this morning in church, and Skyline's a large church, they had everybody that has served in the different branches of service. They were naming them off, the Navy, the Marines.
Yeah.
I turned to my friend, I said, I guess having been an Explorer Scout doesn't cut it. I guess I can't stand up. But
let me address that, because it does. And I wanted to tell this story. You know this. I just got back recently. Leslie and I, my wife, went to Arlington National Cemetery. Her father was a career Army man and passed away, and was laid to rest at Arlington with full honors.
Yes, you were telling us went on this trip. Last time you were on, you were anticipating
this. And I want to tell you a little bit about that. What an incredible thing. First of all, if you've never been to Arlington National Cemetery,
I have not.
You should go sometime. It's just overwhelming. And while you're there, go visit the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. I don't have time tonight to tell you all about those guys that guard that thing, but it's just an incredible thing. And the place is just overwhelmingly beautiful and inspiring, and it's a very emotional thing. You can go out to Point Loma, by the way. There's a great military cemetery right out there on the point, and take that and multiply it by 1,000, and you'll get Arlington. But
these foot soldiers were doing the things that the famous generals that got all the stars and accolades were planning, but these were the guys that really did it. No credit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nobody even knows what their names were, most of them.
No, so we went there, and we had the ceremony, and I did not know until, I've been in touch with Arlington for a month getting prepared for this thing, and everything's regimented. It's military. You have 20 minutes. Imagine me trying to do a eulogy in 20 minutes that's meaningful, and I did it, but I'm going to have to come back and tell you more.
Okay. Well, always leave them wanting more, Jim. We'll be right back. buying a home, selling a home. It goes without saying that you need somebody experienced and skilled, but you also need a realtor you can trust, a man who will look out for your interests as if they were his own. This is Bob Siegel, here to steer you the right direction with just two words, Fred Valduti. Fred works with Realty Executives All Area, a company that has sold thousands of homes locally since 1994. Putting your home up for sale or selling a home can be stressful, filled with decisions you never anticipated. So put your mind at ease and call Fred Valduti. He sold my home for me at top price. Every step along the way, I benefited from his wisdom and a very generous usage of his time. By the way, Fred Valduti received the Executive of the Year Award for 2014. What? You say that was a couple of years ago? Listen, wise guy, do you want to mark the calendar or do you want somebody to sell your home for you? Whether buying or selling, the man you want is Fred Valduti with Realty Executives All Area, 619-719-7717. That's 619-719-7717 or fredvalduti.com. This is Bob Siegel. In addition to radio and public speaking, I love to write novels. Some of these novels are for kids, and when I write for them, I try to think about what kind of book I would have loved when I was a kid. So I'm sure you can understand how satisfying it is to read a customer review such as this one that a parent put up on Amazon.com next to my children's novel, The Dangerous Christmas Ornament. I bought this book when it first came out, read it, and thought it very good. My 11-year-old son, who I could never get to read a book from cover to cover willingly, recently was told he had to read in homeroom at school. He asked if he could use my Kindle because another child in the class was using one. This book is on my Kindle, so I suggested he read it. He has not put it down since. I have to take the Kindle into my room at night because he stays up reading. He told me tonight that he is almost done with the book and asked me to download the sequel. I wish there was one. I would recommend this book for anyone with a kid who likes to read and anyone with a kid who doesn't. Well, that was then, and this is now, because the much-anticipated sequel to The Dangerous Christmas Ornament is finally here. It even has a title. It's called Inside the Castle in the Glass. The Dangerous Christmas Ornament and Inside the Castle in the Glass. Available in both ebook versions and print versions on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com. Surfer music to get us back in the mood for Arlington Cemetery. Go ahead,
Jim. Walk, don't run. Yeah, you know, and boy, we've had Celtic music, surf music, Broadway music. You know, you really...
We slice, we dice.
So we went out there for the ceremony. My father-in-law was a colonel in the Army. Did a lot of things, did two tours of Vietnam, worked in the Pentagon, at one time was in charge of armament. He, by the way, was the man who single-handedly was responsible for arming Red Cross helicopters so they could defend themselves. Before that happened, that was the shortest span of any job you could have over there because they were just shooting him out of the sky. And so he was a great man. He saved people's lives. He among the many, many decorations he achieved was a Bronze Star and a Distinguished Flying Cross for Heroism. He was a soldier's soldier. So we finally go out there to do the ceremony, and it's just majestic, and it's pomp and circumstance. And we did a little service in the chapel that I was allowed 20 minutes for, and then the band outside starts playing. It's a marching band. And they start playing as we all exit the building, and there's the horse-drawn caisson like you've seen on TV, an honor guard, the whole deal. And we walked for a mile and a half down through Arlington. At one point, we're walking down the road, and on one side is the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. On the other side is the Eternal Flame for JFK's memorial. And tourists are out, and people started coming and lining up a lot like it's a parade. And they all stood at attention, and the most touching thing, because you mentioned scouting, we looked over, and there's a little Cub Scout, and he stands at attention and salutes until the whole procession passed.
Wow, and what a fantastic role modeling experience it was for that kid.
It renewed my faith in the future. I said, there's a good kid. And anyway, it was just the most moving and majestic thing. And I came away from that experience very enriched and with a refreshed appreciation for those who serve the country. Tom did not die on the battlefield, but he came close. He had several stories of being miraculously spared while flying helicopters and landing them when it was sure that everyone on board was going to perish. To me, he was a great hero. And
the thing is, he was willing to give his life. That's what
was
important. Absolutely,
and he knew that going in. But Arlington is full of heroes. It's 600 acres, which is just amazing to try to imagine that. And there are some 300,000 people buried at Arlington. And the chaplain said something to us at the close. He said, you cannot purchase a plot in Arlington. You earn it with your life service.
Wow.
And it just blew me away.
Wow.
So there was a very, I will never, ever forget that experience. And it just renewed some things in me. I'm all over the map sometimes politically. As you know, we've talked about it. I was a pacifist and a conscientious objector during those days. And I think if I could do things all over again, I think I would have volunteered to go be a chaplain.
Yeah, that's what I've often thought of that, too, that in another life, because my respect for the military has gone up so much, although these days I don't think either one of us as chaplains could say what we really believe, not in the military as it is today.
There we go again. There you go again. And as Uncle Ron used to say.
There you go again.
I love that guy. Boy, nobody handled the media like him, did they, huh?
No, I've got to say, he definitely handled. Trump plays the media. Reagan handled the media.
Yeah. But it was a great experience, and I just wanted to share that with our listeners. And
I'm glad you did. What an honor for you. I'm so glad you were able to go do that.
Yeah, it was something. And we're finally through that, getting some closure. It took a long time. There's a long waiting list if you want to use the chapel and the full honors thing with the procession and everything, but it was so worth it. And
well, I'm glad we're in a country where you do have a long waiting list for something like that, because it shows how sacred Americans are in holding that up in such high esteem.
Yeah, and there was, I'll tell you what, to a person, everyone that is stationed there, you have to ask for duty there. That's one of the hardest things to get. There is so much respect for our national history and for the military and servicemen. It's just incredible. I mean, everybody there was so respectful, and you could tell the reverence, you know, not only for our family's loss, but for what it means for someone to lay their life on the line and say, I'm willing to go and risk the ultimate sacrifice. They revere that, and they train it into their people. Gosh, when we went in, you go through a security check now anytime you go on any kind of a military place, but they're doing the thing. They're opening the hood and they're looking for stuff. And when the guys realized that we had Tom's remains, they all snapped to and saluted, and we just all lost it. It was a great experience.
Wow. Well, congratulations, my friend. That was a great experience for you.
Yes.
All right. Well, we'll look forward. We're done with. We did another one. We'll have you on again next month.
All right.
Always great talking to you. We'll see you next week, everybody.
Bob Siegel Show on AM 1170. The Answer is sponsored by Bob Siegel.